Welcome to Tonight in Mobile.
Hey, gang, you're rolling with rockin' Ricky Rialto, the voice of Kingston Falls, USA.
It's Tonight in Mobile.
Got my money?
Oh, yeah, I don't have it, sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. Where's my money, man?
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Engaging the people, the city, and all Port City Patriots.
This is Spock. Signal this to all decks. All weapons to full power.
All weapons to full power.
You were born a boy, you stay a boy. You were born a girl, you stay a girl.
Yes, baby! Yes, baby!
It's Tonight in Mobile with John Young.
I love this so much!
I know you do.
It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolytes.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
Tonight in Mobile, presented by Neudrolyx, with in-studio guests and your calls and texts. Tonight in Mobile with John Young on FM Talk 106.5.
Good evening, Mobile, Port City Patriots. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I am Mr. Mobile, also known as Chocolate Thunder. Boom. I'm here with my good friend, John Andrew Forward. That's right, a pair of Johns. That's not a bad poker hand.
It is not.
We're here to talk about the event we have coming up on the 12th. But before I do that, the call and text line is 251-343-0106. Philip is here. The Mad Hatter is here.
With no hair.
Right. And I just, it's your hair, man. They got to see your hair. They'll see where I'm coming from. He's here. He'll read off your text messages. But you know we have to go through our list. I want to first say get well soon to my father, Johnny M. Young. He's in hospital now. He's 91 years old, and he's just having some minor health issues that a man of his age would you'd expect to have. But if you guys don't mind, send some prayers for him to get well soon. Happy anniversary to Trey and Lisa Davis. I've been working with Trey now 23 years, not a finer man on the planet. Congratulations to Julian and Lamora Nettles. They just bought their own Exit Realty brokerage firm.
Way to go.
That is worthy of notice. And I even asked Lamora if they would come on next month and just hear their story about where they started and how they got here. Get well soon to Linda. Marcus, my brother's mother-in-law, she too is in hospital. A big thanks to Brian Overstreet. Every month for the past year, he sent money to Men United Against Violence. A big thank you to Nazaree Full Gospel Church for helping sponsor the show. Without them, Drew, we just couldn't get this thing done. They only hear from me. They mostly hear from me and sometimes from you, but there are so many people that back us up.
Oh, yeah.
That help us out. I got to say good night to Ariel, Kyrie, Cairo, and Tatum. Do you want to say good night to anybody?
Good night to the same ones.
Okay. Happy birthday to David Wilhelm. He was the chief of police. I worked under him. Lisa Weber, she's the wife of one of my sergeants in Selma PD. And Jerry Garside, she's the wife of my good buddy Glenn Garside. And James Jones, he's in Tuscaloosa now. He probably won't hear it, but happy birthday to him. And Sean Action Man Sullivan actually has a birthday in July.
All right.
Yeah. So happy birthday to the Action Man. And my sister Alicia's birthday is this month, I believe on the 22nd. After you've had as many birthdays as she's had, they're not that important to her anymore. But I still.
That's terrible.
But we love Alicia, and we have to say happy birthday. Send some prayers out for Waverly Chris. She's the daughter of Jonathan Chris. He's an officer. She's having some health issues, so let's keep her in our prayer. And Emily Anderson, she's the wife of Noah Anderson. Her birthday is this month. And I heard a statistic earlier today that made me shudder. That every day, 22 service members commit suicide.
Man.
22 per day.
I did not know that.
And we oftentimes only think about them when they are fighting wars, but they deserve our attention when they return. Whatever they need at their disposal, the VA or counseling, we need to do as a country a better job. 22 service members per day commit suicide. Now that is all of the pleasantries and all of the greetings are out the way, we're going to get to it. You guys, like I said, you often hear from me, but I got Drew here. I'm going to call him Drew because we both have the name John, and if I call John's name too many times, I start answering.
Much less confusing.
It's like talking back to yourself. Do you answer? When you talk to yourself, do you respond? You know, our theme, Drew, comes out of Psalm 22 and 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What are we doing this Saturday, the 12th, and where are we doing it and why?
So this Saturday, the 12th of July, we're going to meet at Canal in Rickerby. We're going to get out into the neighborhoods, and we're going to go out and talk to the youth and give them encouraging words.
Why? Why are we doing that?
You know, we can sit in the studio here. We can sit around amongst one another, and we can talk about the things that we have. We can talk about the problems that they're out there with our youth. But unless we get out there and talk to the people that need to hear it, we're not doing, you know, we're not doing what we need to do. We need to get out there, and we need to be seen, and we need to talk to the people who need to hear it.
Who's invited to join us?
Everyone. Everyone is invited. We want certainly men to come to speak with, you know, young men, boys, right? We want to be positive role models for them, positive influences. We want to tell them that, you know, violence isn't the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Violence isn't the answer. And
well, what about if they say, Mr. Ford, that's all I know? What is that? What do we say to that kid that has that response? Well, that's all I know. I grew up in the hood. This is where I am.
And you can also learn something different, right? Mm-hmm. We can offer them encouraging words. You know, we can tell them, hey, you can put those guns down. You don't have to live that way. That's just what you were. Maybe you were born into it, but that doesn't have to be the rest of your life.
But what do we say to people who say, well, oh, that's easy, just telling them that. So what? It doesn't, you know, you got to be there. And what else are you going to do besides tell them?
Well, the thing about that is people like us, guess what? We grew up in the same places, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we chose a different route. So we're living examples that something different can be done. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to be in the street your whole life. You don't have to go to jail. You don't have to commit crimes. You don't have to sell drugs, use drugs, or commit acts of violence. Okay, there are a lot of options out there, and we're living proof, right? You know, the hard thing about it is that, you know, when you see these kids and they are, you know, young, 12, 13, and they feel like it's hopeless for them already. That's a shame, and we want to show them something different.
So are we planting seeds or attempting to plant seeds?
We are definitely planting seeds. You know, the idea, and this is something that we've talked about many times before, family, education, employment, discipline, right? And we want to teach those things. And more importantly, you know, for me, fear of the Lord, right?
Right, right. We're about to come up on our first break. We have seen over the last decade, the remnant of BLM is that the police don't care. You're a cop. Why are you doing this?
It's something that I was called to do. I've always wanted to be a police officer. That's what I grew up wanting to be. And I always wanted to be able to make a difference, right? That's not something that you can do sitting on the sideline. And I felt like being a cop would be the thing that allowed me to be able to get out there, be visible, and be able to make a difference in people's lives.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we're coming up on our break. We're about 45 seconds away. Just a reminder, this Saturday, July 12th, 5 p.m., we're meeting at Rickerby and Canal Street. You are all welcome. We don't care who you vote for, who your favorite football team is, do we?
We don't.
We do not care. If you love your city and you love your family and you want to be an inspiration, we're asking you to come out. And oftentimes we've heard when we've had lunch, what can I do as an old white man? Well, you can come out and witness and tell them about your story. So that's all we're trying to do is get men out. No T-shirts, no ball caps, no expensive sneakers. We're coming out like gentlemen. I'm going to wear my Hokas and maybe a duck head shirt, you know, but we're coming out like adults and setting the example. We're coming up on our break, 20 seconds, about Ernesto, I know you're watching. I'll come smoke a cigar if you put up that barking dog. And thank you. If I don't have another fan, I got Paul Check. Thank you, guys. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Port City Patriots, to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, sponsored by Neudrolics. Yes, Robert Slaughter, I know you're a fan of mine. Thank you. You also sponsor the show. I have to say this about Neudrolics, because they didn't have to. They didn't have to sponsor the show. It's a great group of people out there. Wade Davis has those guys humming right along like a typewriter. All of your industrial hose needs. If you have any doubts, call and ask for Street Jesus. He can answer any questions. And Anna's the longest serving employee there, because it was built by family. Richard Slaughter started the business 50 years ago. They're celebrating their 50th anniversary. So I always give a shout out to the Slaughter family, Darlene, Hunter, Big M, and Noah. So thank you guys for sponsoring my show. And another sponsor of my show is Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pawn, located at 266 East I-65 Service Road North. Ed, Sandra, Braxton, J.J. Dean, Carson, Emma, Juanita, Becky, and Dolly are there for your needs. They cash checks. They sell electronics. They sell power tools, jewelry, firearms, you name it. I bought several of everything I just named from them. And remember, J.J. loves hugs, and Braxton likes having his beard rubbed. And my good buddy, Craig, go by and rub his beard. I'm telling you. Youth Reach Gulf Coast is a Christian-centered residential home for young men ages 18 to 22. It is located in Somerdale, Alabama, on an 81-acre campus. They offer a year-long minimum full-service opportunity at no cost to the men or their families. At YRGC, young men and staff families live and work and enjoy life together. The community provides a healthy and stable environment for residents to know hope, be restored, and to belong. It is a voluntary commitment, but YRGC can work with court system to help the young men resolve court cases. Through the year, the men receive biblical teaching and counseling, valuable life skills, and tools for healthy habit and character building. Please visit their website at yrgc.org. And this is another example, Drew, of the work that so many other people. We're not the only show on earth.
Absolutely.
We're not saying that we're the only people out working. But we need to remember that, right? That we're not the only people out here doing something.
Oh, that's for sure. You know, everybody can contribute. There's room for everyone to get involved. The more people, the merrier.
Right, and that's our philosophy. Paul Check sent in, every time some child waves at me, I try to give them a badge sticker. They're our future. And that's the side of our job people don't see. They only see us. Okay, I can't get too far in this rabbit hole, because what I say out of uniform might get me out of uniform. But there are men who care about our community, and they are willing to do what they're able to do to reach our communities, right? You can't be in our job and not have empathy. How many kids would you have if you could have just picked them up and taken them with you?
Oh, man. You know, the thing about that, you know, is one thing that I always hate to see is when, you know, parents try to use a policeman as a tool to control their kid or to scare them, right? You see that officer over there? You
know, here he is, come get him.
Right.
The only joke that's worse than that is, I didn't do it. That's old, right, man. I started telling guys, yeah, I can see why, and you probably never will, chump. You know, just you like that Mad Hatter? But there are so many, you know, there's so many people that care, and that's why we're inviting them out this Saturday, right? Come walk. We want to go north, south, and east and west from that intersection, right? Remember, a 17-year-old was killed there last month?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So that's why we're targeting that area, right?
Correct. And once again, what we need are men to come out and show these boys, these young men, exactly what it is that an adult should be doing, right? We want to set a good example for them. We want to be role models, mm-hmm, right? And we also want those kids to understand that violence is just not the answer. We don't want to see another 17-year-old killed. It's happened way too many times. I was looking at an article earlier today where there was, 55 people shot in Chicago just over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we definitely don't want that for Mobile.
Right.
We don't want to head that direction.
And we don't. And the perception is, though, because when these violent crimes occur, they gain so much attention. You know, you and I spoke out vehemently about the shooting at Sage Park because of the senselessness of it. It baffled me that these brute beasts can be so disengaged from life. And how do we get here? How do we become so desensitized to violence, you think?
You know, the thing about that is we've got to do something to reach the hearts and the minds of the people who would commit violence, right? We've got to do something to change them within, because if a person doesn't care about themselves, if they don't have anyone to love or love themselves, then they're bound to commit any type of an act like that, any type of violence. So what we're trying to do is reach that person's heart and get them to see something different, right?
Right. And that's not always easy.
And it's not. One thing for me is my relationship with the Lord. You know, I'm trying to, I'm doing what I can do to change myself, right? You know, and I'm letting the Lord within my heart to change me. And, you know, there might be different motivations for different people, you know, but for me, that's what motivates me. That's what keeps me inspired. That's what helps me move day to day. Whatever we can do to share with those kids, to share with those young men, to tell them, hey, put the guns down, that's what we need to do.
So it's not a waste of time, is it?
No, it's not a waste of time at all. I believe that everyone wants a safer city. Everyone wants a safer Mobile. It benefits us all, right? No one wants to go to the mall and gunshots to ring out in the middle of an aisle, right?
Glad Stadium.
Right. You don't want to be at a football game. You don't want to be at a basketball game. Those are places that should be safe to go to. You should be able to go to the grocery store and not be looking over your shoulder. Who's going to come into Walmart and start shooting in the middle of the store?
The 9-year-old laying on their couch, just sleeping, doing what babies do.
Right. And get struck by a bullet. You know, those are the things that are just tragic, just so tragic, and they're travesties. And what we want to do is we want to change those things.
Right.
Right.
And we have to speak first that there is a problem before we can state a solution, right? We can't be ashamed to say that there is a subculture of gun violence involving young black men in Mobile. That doesn't make us racist or sellout, does it? It makes us honest, right?
It just makes us honest. And the thing of that is, if anyone that would say that, they need to come out and they need to be there with us so that they can see what we're telling these kids, right?
Right.
Now, they need to come out and explain to those kids exactly how it is that gun violence is a benefit to their life, right? What is committing crimes doing for them? How is that making them better? It doesn't. All it does is get young men, young women, children put into the graveyard well before their time, way before they should have been.
We don't often talk about those who live, who are on colonoscopy bags or paralyzed or permanently disfigured either.
Right.
You know, we only talk about those who have died, Philip, and we don't even remember the kids who been shot, who will forever have a limp or have lost a limb. Now,
some kids shot
multiple times
before the age of 10. Mm.
So what? We're coming up on our second break. We've got about 2 minutes. Tell me the difference between nonviolent and pacifist, and then we'll talk about July 26th.
Okay. A person that is a pacifist, they don't believe in fighting at all,
mm-hmm.
right? They don't believe in contributing to any type of violence, right? Whereas a person that is nonviolent, the person is nonviolent may fight. They will fight, but they will try to avoid it if possible.
Right. So on July 26th, we are fighting.
We are fighting.
Where?
We're fighting at Gulf Coast Gloves in Biloxi.
Keep going.
I'm trying to, is it the Biloxi Civic Center?
Yeah, on the 26th.
Biloxi Civic Center on the 26th. There is a tournament. It is amateur boxing, three rounds, 2 minutes at a time. It's going to be a good show. It's I want to say about 50 fights that night, and I'm competing that night against.
In what division?
In the lightweight division.
Against Tyler Action Jackson.
Yes, Tyler Action Jackson.
Ricky Duran Promotions does a great job. This will be your fifth fight over there in their promotion. Fourth fight. Four. Drew is going through, it's not a midlife crisis. He just had this resurgence of last year. He said, I want to fight again. And we're friends, you know, we're tight friends. And I don't trust anyone else to train him. So I was retired from coaching and training. But when he said he wanted to fight, I said, I'm unretired because I don't trust anyone. So we're in shape. We're going over. If you guys get a chance, come over, check us out. I think they still have tickets available, maybe some general admission. But it is important that people understand that pacifism isn't really a reality. Nonviolence is trying to avoid conflicts when you can, but being prepared for if those conflicts are unavoidable, right?
Right.
So that's the difference. So we don't want anyone to say that we're contradicting ourselves by him boxing, me training him boxing, and we're asking kids to stop killing each other. What I wish these kids would do is get with Ricky D and put the gloves on.
Right.
Or Chip. You know, Chip Ruffin.
That's right.
We used to ride around with gloves and Long Live White Chocolate. Jeremy
Franks.
They used to ride around with them. And if these kids want to get it on, let them get it on. Safe environment. Everybody walks away. Come right back. It's right. Rules. Come right back. We still have more to talk about. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, sponsored by Nudrolics. If I eat a little kid, sticks his finger. We're back from the break. Tonight I'm Mobile with Mr. Mobile, sponsored by Nudrolics. You know, when I hear Run DMC, Philip, the Mad Hatter, has to remind me, we're on the air, because I just love listening to rock. I love listening to that intro, you know, and I chose it because, you know, me, Bob, and Kirk, and Jeff, we're all born in 71, and we're all Beastie Boys fans. Run DMC fans, so it's an homage to the old guys in the room. Now, we left off talking about your fight on July 26th, but we also said that we want as many men as possible to come out this Saturday. Why should they come? The men that have come up to us and said, "What can I do?" The many times we've been eating lunch and, "Oh, good job! You guys are doing a great job." Now they can get involved, right?
Absolutely, come out and show your support for your city. Right. Come out and show support for the youth, because the youth, they're our future. Right. And so for men to get out and show young men and show our boys exactly what they can do, you know, to be a positive influence on their lives, that's what we need to do, because we don't want a city that's riddled with violence.
Well, John and JY and Drew, I don't live over there. I'm going to live over in Rickaby and Canal. Why should I care what goes on? Should I care what people are over there doing?
Because something could affect you, right? Everyone that gets impacted by this isn't this violence. They're not necessarily doing anything wrong. I remember a shooting where a child was a few blocks away from the gunfire and they ended up being hit, right? This is a innocent kid that didn't have anything to do with whatever beef those guys had. But the bullet doesn't know that, and the bullet doesn't care either. Once it's fired, it goes where it goes, right? So this is something that not only affects the people in that community, it affects people all over Mobile.
Mentally, it affects everyone because you read it and you see it and you become worried about it. But that's just them. Let them kill each other. They're just killing each other. Who cares? What about that? What do you have to say to that?
Once again, we have to have compassion as well, right? You know, people that do these types of things, people that commit these crimes, people that, you know, want to shoot it out, guess what? They might not have anyone in their lives to be a positive influence on them, right? But we can change that, because we could become that positive influence. We can show them the difference between actually living and, you know, just living a life to kill or be killed.
Right. And you've heard guys say that to you, that it was no big deal shooting into.
There's been many occasions where, you know, and we're talking about young guys, you know, I mean, early teens, who will tell you that they don't have anything to live for. They'll tell you, I might as well sell drugs. I might as well shoot it out because I'm going to be dead before I'm 20. Mm. Right. And, you know, that is the mindset that we see. And for some of them, they don't believe that it will change. You know, I've seen people say, I don't care if I shoot a 2-year-old, or, you know what, if somebody shoots into my house and they hit my mom looking for me, that's just the way that it is. Right. That's just the game. That's life. Right. In order to change a mind like that, it's going to take effort. And we've got to put forth the effort to get out there and make a difference in these people's lives, because they don't have anybody to do that for them.
Well, that's what the father's job is. Let the fathers go out there and do that. Why aren't we putting more, holding them accountable and putting them on blast?
Where are the fathers? Right? Where are they? They're nowhere in sight. The kids probably don't know their fathers themselves. So, you know, we can't worry about what it is that they're doing. What we have to do is what we can do to make a difference. I can control me. I can't control what that boy's dad did. I can't control that at all. But I can get out. I can volunteer my time. I can put my effort into it. I can make a difference. You can make a difference. And everyone that wants to participate, they can come out and they can find someone and they can talk to them. They can encourage them. They can show them a better way.
Oh, it's just words. You got to give these kids resources and tools to cope with a life that you don't understand. You got to, you know, I took this class at Norfolk, West Virginia, and it said kids need tools and resources. What tools and resources are you giving them by talking to them?
We're giving them encouragement. We're giving them skills, right? We're giving them wisdom, right? We're giving them at least knowledge, right? We're giving them something that they can use that will make a difference in their life if they would just apply it. We're setting an example. We're showing them the example. We're living it, right? And if we can do it, why can't they? If I can grow up in the hood, if you can grow up in the hood, and we can graduate high school, and we can go to college, and we can find jobs, why can't they?
Racism. Racism is holding so many of these kids back. Systemic racism has been in place. It does not allow these young black kids to go out and attain and achieve. That's why.
So, y'all might be surprised by this, but I've been black my whole life. and it's never stopped me before. Racism has never held me back. Racism has never held me back. You know, I was still able to graduate college. I was still able to be married, and I was still able to, you know, have a career. I can do everything that I want to do. I own a house. I have a business, right? I have a job. What is racism supposed to stop me from doing?
Well, it's stopping you because the systemic part of it makes black kids kill each other. They've been held back and held down, and now it just doesn't allow them the same opportunities. You're different.
So, you know? So being black or the disadvantages of being black somehow just skipped over me, right? Or was it the choices that I made, right? What did I decide to do with my life?
Right? Well, you had a dad in the home with you. That's why. That's the difference. You had a.
I did have a dad in the home, and my father was. He was incredible. He was great to me, and I miss him every day, and I think about him every single day. And he did instill things into me, right? But it doesn't have to be a dad that does that, right? It can be another role model. It can be someone else. Yes, I had my father. I had my grandfather. I had uncles, right? I had their friends who were all positive role models in my life. But we can do the same thing. We can mentor these kids. We can teach them something different. They don't have to pick up guns. They don't have to sell drugs. They don't have to drop out of school. They don't have to have four children before they're 25, right?
Oh, you're just being cold-hearted. You don't understand what these kids are going through in their everyday life. They're waking up in the morning helping raise their younger siblings. You don't understand.
I do understand because I've lived it. I've been there. I've seen it. I've experienced it. You know, I wasn't an angel growing up, right? So, you know, the thing about it is I just learned differently. I was taught differently, you know, and I just didn't I didn't stray away from what my parents taught me, right? But in my case, it was parents. In someone else's case, it might be one of us. One of us could go out there on Saturday and make a difference in somebody's life.
Because a coach had an influence on you also.
Yes.
Your gymnastics coach, your chess coach, your boxing coach, they all had an influence. What I see, one of the biggest differences, besides these big women wearing spandex, is that we heard the same message wherever we went. The janitor at Baker could correct a child there. It doesn't matter the status, it's that they were an adult and they had the right to do that, and we were expected to respect them. Is that something we're missing now?
You know, the funny thing about that is too many times in this day and age, people have a disrespect for authority, you know. And I'm not sure exactly where that disrespect started. But as of right now, we have people that don't want to listen to the police. They don't want to listen to teachers at school. They don't want to listen to the clergy at church, right? They've decided that for whatever reason, they know better. Mm-hmm. And now why that is, I really don't know.
I'll tell you why. Feminism, then these blue-haired ladies from New York studying sociology, who are in their 20s telling me how disadvantaged I am, and I think Black Lives Matter movement finished us off. I really believe those are the greatest detriments to the respect that we're talking about.
Right.
Is that once we were told that you can challenge, and not even constitutionally challenge, you have rights. I wish people would invite us to come and talk to them about their constitutional rights and how to invoke them instead of becoming violent and belligerent. We're coming up on our final break. I want to tell Tripp Pimpman personally thank you. He did not have to sponsor me. And I want to tell my brothers, Bro Young, Marcus, my sister, Alicia, I'm grateful for them also. I lost a sister, Jacqueline, more than 30 years ago, and also a brother, Kent. And like you said, I miss them dearly. My father is ill now. The wisdom that he imparted to me, I'll take with me forever. And all the beatings that I took from him, I'll take with me forever. Because he never, ever beat me as much as I needed it. Because I got away with a lot of stuff. You know, but that's me and my pawpaw, my granddad. And I was fortunate enough to grow up in a neighborhood that was filled with families. Everywhere we saw husbands and wives. So we're coming up on our final break. We'll see if the Mad Hatter will read your text messages and email. Tonight in Mobile, with Mr. Mobile, sponsored by Neudrolix, and my good friend, my brother, John Fast Andrew Ford. We'll be right back, Mobile. Perfect timing I have. Thank you, guys. The Mad Hatter, you made a point about our Heavenly Father. So we all have a Father, right?
Yes, sir.
And so that's what we're trying to invoke, right, Drew?
Yes, it is.
All
yes,
right. So let's read some text messages that we have. I hope.
Let's see. We got here. Says, I'm listening. Prayers up for your pops. That's Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Let's see. How many of these young men have been told that they are loved? And Maximus, all I see is blue.
I know, brother. I know. That's another thing, Drew. Like when I'll go speak. I'll tell every kid, I love you. And right. I explain to them agape love. I love you. Is that something else? Some of the kids just aren't taught emotion or affection?
Well, they're not getting the right kind of emotion. They have emotion, but a lot of times it's anger or resentment, right? And they're not happy with the situation that they're in. You know, a lot of these kids don't have a great family structure at home, right? Mm-hmm. And since they lack that, kids need to have some type of structure. They've got to have someone who is going to be there for them and give them some type of direction. And either they're going to get it at home, they're going to get it from a positive role model, a father, a teacher, a principal, right? Or they're going to get it in the street, right? And since these kids are disadvantaged, you know, since they may not have much, I'm not old enough to get a job, but I can sell a bag of weed, right? Mm-hmm. I can carry this gun. And that's how they get roped into it. You don't have a lot, but we can put money in your pocket, but right?
Are all these kids killers, or are they just caught up in circumstance?
You know, and it starts
and when I say
off,
killer Port City, I mean by at heart. Are they psychopathic?
No. They're not psychopaths at heart, no. But it's the situation that they've been put into, right? It's that idea that I can't make a difference in my household unless I go out and get this money, right? And then when they start making money, they have to use violence to protect what it is that they're trying to make, right? And so, you know, if you have, you know, some local gangs fighting over territory, right? Well, Rickerby's mine. Well, the Parkway's mine, right? And if somebody starts infringing, what happens? You've got violence, right? Because they're going to fight over it, you know? That they feel like in the beginning, I need to feed my family. I've got to bring some money home. And it may start off that way, but it doesn't end that way because inevitably they get roped into more and more, and you know, you're selling more dope and you're doing more to protect it, right? So it ultimately ends in violence.
And they become desensitized to it. It's right. No longer viewed as wrong.
Right.
The parents, do you see instances where parents are encouraging or involved in it?
Definitely.
Whether they're participating definitely. In drug selling or lying about it.
It's generational. It's one generation after the next that continues the same cycle.
But they're poor, Drew. They're poor. That's why they're doing it. You know, what can you expect?
Being poor doesn't make you into a criminal. You know, I know plenty of people that didn't grow up with very much, okay? You know, the valedictorian of my high school, she didn't grow up with much.
That wasn't you?
No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. but it didn't stop her from getting an education, did it? No. She graduated at the top of the class. Goes on to an Ivy League school and becomes a doctor. So being poor isn't an excuse to commit crimes. Being poor doesn't stop anyone from being a good person or being a law-abiding citizen. That being poor isn't an excuse.
Well, but you don't understand generational poverty. You don't understand that people have worked so hard for so long and they're just held down and beaten and trodden down. What good is an education to someone who isn't eating or doesn't have new shoes? What good is an education?
Because an education is the route to change that, right? An education is what will lay the foundation for a person to be able to come out of poverty. You know, to say that because a person is poor or because they grew up in a bad environment that they have to subscribe to certain types of behaviors, whether that be crime, gang membership, or whatever, that's an insult to a person just because of the situation that they were born into, right? Some people are born wealthy and they still commit crimes, right? Mm-hmm. Some people are born poor and they haven't committed a crime in their life, mm-hmm. right? So it comes down to the individual and the choices that they make. We all have options.
No, what we need to understand is she's 16 years old, has two babies outside of marriage, because that's the only way that she can get help. That's the only way she can have a stipend and try to lead her family and raise her kids. She can't get married. Her mom isn't married. Her grandmother isn't married. Her aunts aren't married. She can't.
Okay, the idea about the stipend, I'm not even going to get started on that because that's a trap. But the idea that a person can't change their situation is either they will choose to change their situation or they won't. Mm. But the option is there. They don't have to live that way.
Then have we been lied to by people that said they wanted to help? The people who said that the only way you can be helped is by giving you more handouts, giving you more, no bond, making excuses, not holding accountable, not being responsible. Have they victimized?
Yes, they have. And the reason that they have is because they've given people excuses, right? They've made them believe that anything that I do is acceptable because of my situation, right? The situation is not the best for me right now. I'm hungry so I can steal. I'm poor so I can sell drugs. Those are still personal choices. Guess what? If you're hungry, you can also go get a job, right?
Right.
If you're poor, you can still find work to do, right? To put some money in your pocket, if that's what you want to do. But the whole idea that it can't be helped, these things have to be this way because people find themselves in situations where, you know, that aren't desirable.
Right. And it reminds me of these big women with these boots, cowboy boots and fans. You don't have to dance like that. Not the same. You don't have to. We're coming up. But
not the same.
But Saturday, July 12th, 5 p.m., Rick will be at Canal Street. We're going to meet there. We want everyone to come out. July 26th, you're fighting. We have our Susan Stieber at Lamar. We'll put our family education employment discipline billboard up on the 28th of July.
Great.
So we have those things coming up. I hope everyone enjoyed hearing from you because I'd love to have you back on the show. And so people can not just hear me. But we're fire and ice. I come in and I go off, man. I frown and I sweat and I yell at him. And then he comes in behind like a salve and calms everything down. You know, don't burn their car down. But in our final minute, Drew, take a few seconds and I'm going to close out. What do you want the message to be?
Well, what I hope is that people will find it in their heart to come out on this Saturday and just come out and try to make a difference in someone's life who may really just need to hear it from someone else. Maybe you can come out and change someone's life just by taking the time to show that you care and just to offer an encouraging word.
All right, final minute of our show. Tonight at Mobile with Mr. Mobile, my good friend, my brother, John Andrew Ford. Philip the Mad Hatter is here also. We hope everyone has taken something from this. Post, repost on Facebook, go to the website, share it with others. This is our city, and it will only be what we make it. We need to elect representatives that represent our views and our thoughts and our ideas, and then we must walk in that. It's not easy, Port City Patriots. It isn't easy, but it's necessary for us to have a successful Mobile, and that's all on us. In the final 25 seconds, I just have to say, I still don't like Michael Bublé. I still don't like minivans and kangaroos. I still don't like mosquitoes and humidity. We'll see you next week, Mobile. Thank you, guys. Good night.